Oprah. Can you hear me? Oprah versus Donald 2020 and beyond is a conversation by Julie Benetti and Susan Barbaro and is a production of EI Alliance, copyright 2021. So, yes, I've corrupted you because in a teeny bit of a way, I know you're a teeny bit from Boston Legal, a William Shatner fan. I've always been a William Shatner fan. And we know he went out into quote-unquote space, the final frontier.
All right.
And we saw that. Well, I need to share this because, you know, the understanding that, you know, William Shatner is an actor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it dawned on me when, because everyone was, oh, you got to see his comments and what he said about going up on Bezos, whatever it is, blue, whatever. And, you know, all of this and the beautiful expression of it is William Shatner is an actor. And when he went on Star Trek and he acted and he was in these different scenes, the scenes would end. And when we watched the scenes were put together with pictures of space and stars and travel and planets. That was all in his imagination.
No, it wasn't. It was in the writer's imagination. He just went with a black screen or blue screen or green screen, whatever, and he read his lines, and then he went off and read more lines. And
however he read his lines, however he acts, whatever he does, whatever. I don't want to say it wasn't in his imagination, unless he was just reading lines. But there was some personification, some whatever to that, some skill. And the funny part about it was, you know, it dawned on me when he went into space that he never, unless he watched himself on those shows, and who knows, some actors do, some don't, he never really experienced it. Well, I know what I experienced, and I experienced him when he would say, okay, you know, take us out
never,
to that star.
I never saw the show, so I can't make that statement.
So I can. I experienced, yeah. You know, the spaceship traveling and all the special whatever they would do, back then there wasn't that much, which was great. Not a lot of CGI. And so the reason why I wanted to talk about this was because I thought there was a brilliance to it. That, you know, here's the possibility of, you know, again, a celebrity and an actor, you know, being represented as something when in actuality, you know, he's just a person like all of us. And we don't know what his experience is. And the suggestion of a certain experience or what his sentiment was related to that, it made it so aware to me. That, oh my gosh, like, you know, I know he's an actor, I know he acts. Oh my gosh, like, he didn't experience the same compact expression of going into space as we all did when we watched his show.
Exactly.
And so
I'm like, yeah, okay, so, yes, I agree.
Well, so, you know. This leads all into, you know, the expert testimonial and the whatever occurs that, oh, so-and-so played this, you know, remember the old Marcus Welby? I play a doctor on TV. I'm not a doctor. But he would come out in his white coat way back in the days when they would do advertisements and commercials. And he would, you know, was adamant that he said, I'm not a doctor. I play one on TV. And people still don't get that. They still don't get that, you know, notoriety of celebrity. And so I'm not talking about celebrity, and I'm not talking about, you know, William Shatner to a degree, but I thought it was interesting and intriguing what his comments were about going into space. And I had seen an interview with him, and I had talked a little bit with you about it, that he had interviewed with someone during the pandemic, and he was talking about life and death and his age and, you know, his concerns about death and things like that. And that's what his perspective and expression was going into space, talking about what life was and what death was. Mm-hmm. And I found that just intriguing. I found it intriguing and fascinating, and that there was like a wealth of something, energy to move with that in a different direction. So I guess what I'm just sharing is that it was funny to me because it was a defined expression of, you know, this journey that he had, because we all, you know, see him as Captain Kirk, and the journey that he had as a person. It almost structured it in more of a duality. And the message, I was surprised by the message of it being, you know, down here is life and up there is death. I thought that was fascinating.
So for me, because I'm not a huge William Shatner fan. Like, I don't dislike him. I just, it's like he's just another person to me. I don't have that. I never watched Star Trek. I never got into any of that. To me, all I get is that here he is. It's almost like he's confessing. You're like, okay, down there, pointing, like, and I didn't even see this, but you're telling me that he pointed to the blue, you know, marble that's the earth. He said, that's life. And he pointed behind him to where the darkness is, which is everything. He says, that's death. That's what you're telling me. So I didn't even see that.
So, Jeff Bezos also, like,
okay, so,
expressed
but that was the basic tenement of it. And all I feel like is, wow. Here he is at the age of, I think you said he's 90 or something, confessing that everything everybody thought he represented is not at all what he represented. He was not Captain Kirk. Everyone looked at him as Captain Kirk. He was never Captain Kirk. He was an actor. And he always was just reading lines. And he did it, as I said, with intonation. And he was convincing. Obviously, because he convinced everyone. But, you know, I sit back and I'm like, what's that about? Like, now he's doing everything. You see him on everything, and it's almost like ad nauseum. Like, oh, here he is again.
So what you just said about the roles and what we talked about in a previous podcast about roles and reading lines, I mean, it's very, you know, self-reflective. Because sometimes you get stuck in situations and interactions with people, and are you reading lines? I don't mean you. Are you reading lines? Are you, like, zapped into roles? Are you, I mean, it was almost like...
No, and I think that's a huge, I mean, I just got, you know, my phone just beeped. It's got to do with work. It's not, and I'm like... It's a Sunday afternoon, and I'm thinking, what is this? What is this? Is this something? I mean, I don't do this. This is not who I am. And it's like, so what is this about? And it's there's a dysfunction that's being projected onto me. And my question is, am I going to embrace it, or am I going to say, no, that's not who I am? And it's not a, and I could get mad and complain or say something, but at the end of the day, what is this about? Am I gonna step into this quote role that's being offered? It's like, here, you're being offered a role. Do you want it? You know, do you want to be the mother, play the mother in this role in this movie or not? Am I gonna complain? Oh, how dare they ask me? You know, they expect me to be a mother. I'm too young to be a mother. I can go into the arguing or. Am I going to accept the role or not?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's funny. I shared with you that I interviewed for a job once, and they said to me, well, you know, you need to be available 24/7. And I thought, huh? And I mean, the job did not pay that well for me to be. And I thought, well, where's my life there? And I thought, well, it's great to have a salary, but 24/7. And then it was like, well, because you could get a call, you could get a text at 4 a.m. and, you know, the owner of the company really needs to talk something out with someone. I was like, whoa, I have a life. Like, well, what does that mean? 24, like, it's no investment in the company. It's not my company. I mean, I have my own.
So wait a minute. So what's important here as well? As I say, what's this about? I've never lived, like, those stories you tell me, you always tell me these stories, and I'm like, what the Christ are you doing? I have never, ever in my life done that. I've always been very clear. And now I'm saying today, what the hell is this? That's why it's like, I can get angry or I can make comments, but it's like, what is this? This has never, I've never, ever had anyone say anything remotely close to that. Never.
And so, you know, and it's not an issue of boundaries.
No.
It's almost that tech, because what I got from that interview was I was like, whoa, wait a minute. That she was basically saying, you're going to get paid nothing. You're going to be asked to be on call. And you're going to need to be supportive of this person that needs a lot of, you know, attention. And it's like, huh? And I mean, I guess there are people in dysfunctions that would do that, that do that. And oh God, I'm not saying anything, but
for me, this is what's different. Mm. That was what, years ago?
Oh, that was like 20 some odd years ago.
I have never been in that situation. Mm. And here I am now having the conversations that I'm having with you and it pops up now. That's the point. Mm. It's not, oh geez, look what happens. I'm sitting back saying, wait a second. My whole life, I've never accepted anything remotely close to that unless it was my kids. Because, yeah, it is 24/7. I've never accepted it. And now? And it's happening now? Well, knowing what I know?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I could have even accepted it 20 years ago. I could sit there and say, oh, my God, how could blah, blah, blah?
Yeah.
So what do you want to say? You're giving me this look.
It's you. You're doing you right here. This is you doing you.
So
what is the message coming through that, you know, and again, it's like, you know, and the volatility of however, whatever it is out there, because I'm just, you know, the energy is off the charts. Mm. And there is, you know, lots of stuff that you can, you know, tune into and you can utilize for your own benefit and whatever, blah, blah, blah. I don't need to say anything more. And, you know, you can go down one road or another. Mm. And yet, you know, the funny thing is, if you open the door just a teeny bit and you let something in, it's like, all right, I'm coming in now.
So and by not opening that door is a very uncomfortable feeling. It really is an uncomfortable feeling when you have someone that I need something, and it's an it's you know, we talk about this in many different forms about lending stuff or whatever. It's a very, as I'm going to say, as a woman, and you can beat me up again, it's uncomfortable to say, that's not who I am. Because we don't do that. We don't do that. And it's like bothering me to like, what is it that she's reaching out to me for? Because I don't do this. Mm. And it's like, I'm ready to turn around. And when someone says, well, you know, you should have been there. They needed your help. I'm going to be like, what? I don't do this. And so then I can turn into, what are the ramifications? Well, I'm not going to have a job. I'm not going to have income. Yikes. That's a huge slap in the, you know, like, whoa, what are you going to do with that?
So I had a recent experience and I did, and the experience isn't important. I did everything I could not to, this is a funny way to put it, not to perform in my interaction based off of that experience any way that I would have before. And it was an effort. It was an effort. Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. They say, and I don't know why I always remembered this, because, you know, it's more of a writing skill. But they say, if you want to, you know, if you want to act completely different, a writing, acting skill, whatever, you put a stone in your shoe. You put a pebble in your shoe, and we all know when you go for a walk and there's a pebble in your shoe, you're focused on the pebble and you start to walk differently, your foot hurts or something, you become a different character. You become a different kind of version of yourself. And, you know, you might start to ask, well, did I just put a pebble in my shoe? Well, you know, you can take the shoe off and dump the pebble off at any point in time. You just stop, you take the shoe off, you dump the pebble off, out. And, you know, the feeling of that makes it different, because when I made a conscious effort to have a completely different conversation, and I found it was really funny, because one of the things that was expressed back to me was, are you telling the truth? And I was like, what? Who the freak says that to anyone in a conversation when I'm being authentically myself? And I say it this way because I'm being responsible for my own interactions and my own baggage, my own everything in my own life. And, like, buddy, you got to be responsible. Like, I'm not responsible for your life. And then, you know, it was funny. This person even had put, like, some notes on my door. And, you know, it was, like, for me to... And he's like, well, then you can go ahead and get rid of those notes. And I thought, no! I didn't read them. I didn't touch them. I didn't look at them. I'm like, you take them back and you dispose of them. Like, I'm not taking your crap to go and dispose of. And it was a completely different interaction. And I'm not... The whole thing isn't important. But I was conscious. And it wasn't like, okay, you need to stand up for you. And it was like, you know what? You need to just be authentically you. Because you put up with so much shit for so long. That's not really what you're... Like, who are you? Again, am I doing me? No. Mm. And if I'm not doing me, then I can't just do what it is that I do.
Right.
I got freaking pebble in my shoe.
Because you have other... And I think what was important is when you said that people want you to fix their issues.
Right.
You know, that happens to a lot of us. Because I think a lot of us are compassionate people. And we get sucked into that whole... You fix this for me.
And I would like to also project it back this way to say that, you know, we've all been brainwashed with the savior complex. You know, my hero is coming. He's my hero. She's my hero. She's like, we're our own heroes. You know, this is where we used to say in the past, step it up. Step it up for yourself. You know, be present for yourself. Take responsibility for yourself. Oh, no, they'll take care of it. They'll do it. They're supposed to do that for me. And then, with that expectation, well, they didn't do that for me. Well, screw them. Well, whatever. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, what a load of dysfunctional crap.
Well, I think everything that you're saying, I believe that the hesitation on our part comes from being very conscientious. And you want to do a good job, not because you want someone to say you got an award.
Yeah.
It's because it's who you are. Like, I do, even if I'm home, you know, I'll joke, here's a funny little story, is Julie will say, and I make sure her husband's not around, like, for at her house, I'll start dancing, and he'll be like, oh, Christ, and, like, I'll put on, and I'll start dancing and doing something stupid, and I'll be like, I'll be honest with you, when I'm home, when I was before my house was, and I was home alone, I'd do the same thing. I would laugh, and I would just dance, you know, if I was doing something, I would just dance, not crazy, just, you know, whatever. And it's because it's who I am. So a lot of what I do is because it's who I am. And I always believe if I'm going to do something and I agree to do something, I do it to the best of my ability. Because why else would I do it? And I do that with everything. When we do these podcasts, I always say that I go to that space within myself and feel it. And what is it I'm hearing? What is it I'm sensing? And what do I reflect that upon? I give 100% of myself with everything I do when I'm talking to someone. Yeah. And I know. And so when someone steps in and you're quote, doing a job, whatever that is, it's hard to, like, that's why I hate the whole put up a boundary, because that's just stupid talk.
Right.
It's I'm who I am. So how do I do the best that I do? Because that's how I like to work.
Yeah.
When someone else keeps throwing wrenches in so that, I got to go back and redo it now. And then you redo it. Then they throw it and I got to go back and redo it. It's almost like it's where we talk about the Misty loop. Like,
yeah,
how do I, it's not a boundary. And that's where I think the question becomes, how do I recognize, and that's not maybe the best way of being, this is who I am. And that is not in alignment with who I am, even though I thought it was when I agreed to be a part of it.
Well, see, that's a conscientious...
Right, because that's what I said. Totally, we're conscientious. We're conscientious.
Right, we're conscientious.
Not about getting an award, but who I am.
Right. But the fact of the matter is you already recognized it. You already recognized it. And so... Now you're getting a knock, 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 deal with the issues, knock, 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 deal with the issues. And again, you know, we're not doing these podcasts and learning all this stuff and moving further ahead so we can take all this out there and deal with the issues. No! That's a trap.
Right.
That's a huge trap. And so, of course, you know, the bait is going to come. Here's an issue, here's an issue, here's an issue. And that's going to the root. Going to the root of who you are. And that's all, that's a simplicity of it. It takes the work that you do for yourself, and yet the simplicity of it is just the work. It's not, you know, the root of who you are. You just do what you do, and that doesn't mean people can come in and again, this is not going to sound the right way. Take advantage of it, bully it, you know, abuse all the stuff. If you put extra work in at a certain time, well, that wasn't so you can come around and now I'm available 24/7. And it's funny because that's what often occurs. People don't realize this. They built it into the algorithms of social media that whatever you look at, you're going to see more of. Mm. And so you went out and you maybe worked a little extra, and now it's like, oh, okay, all boundaries are no. It's like, you, why can't you work a little bit extra and then nope, my weekend's my weekend. Why do you even have to say it? And you know what the funny thing is? You don't have to say it. You go back to the root.
So the issue is, where I'm going with this is, I can, you know, that's where it's a boundary. You tell them, you don't, it's, that's not what the question is. The question is, what am I creating? Or what is it that I'm not being authentic? And it's got everything to do. It's not about them. It's about me being conscientious and doing the best. It's funny because there was an article we were talking about that they said that there's, you know, millennials now that are taking two full-time jobs that are working remotely, and in their mind, having two jobs that you do is better than having one job that you do great. Mm. And to me, I could never do that. Mm. And it's not I want an award. It's I enjoy when I fully immerse myself in what I'm doing, whatever it is.
Right.
Whatever it is, when I fully immerse myself, whether I'm reading, whether I'm writing, whether I'm doing a podcast, whether I'm doing accounting work, when I fully immerse myself, I enjoy myself. It's that I lose myself, I'm in it, I'm watching what happens, I pull things together, and that's just my way. When I'm doing a puzzle, I enjoy. But when all of a sudden, I mean, so this, who says this, right? Because it's like, well, what do you like doing? Well, I like cooking. Well, I like fully immersing myself in whatever it is I'm doing. So if I can't do that, regardless of what it is, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it.
Right.
So that just changed. My understanding of myself just changed. Mm. And so I answered the question that I was asking, because if I'm conscientious and I give 100% of myself, well, then what do I do when I'm not allowed to? And I just understood something. It's not that I want to do accounting, that I want to do a puzzle, that I want to do a podcast. I like doing something I fully embrace and I bring all of myself into. And if I can't do it, I don't want to do it. It could be a podcast. It could be it could be anything. Mm-hmm. There's not a definition of what I enjoy doing, what I don't enjoy doing. When I cook and I'm fully immersed in it, I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. If I got to cook something, it's hurry up. It's got to be done. People are coming. Hurry up. It's like, I don't like cooking.
This is,
you got it on tape. So it's a great example of exactly, if I ask the question, the answer is going to come to me.
Yeah.
I just understood something about myself. Now, what do I do with it? That's another whole way of thinking. And if we're talking about what I was talking about with work, I can't fully immerse myself in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I do, it just gets more, okay, now we're throwing, it's stupid work. It becomes stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid work. Stupid work. Like, I don't do stupid work.
Right. You know, it's, and this isn't funny, but I have two examples. It's like you're, you know, you sometimes have like sewing a button or I'm sewing in something, and it's like, oh, you're sewing? Oh, would you mind sewing this pat? Would you mind sewing that? Would you mind? It's like, well, no, I'm sewing this button because I need to sew a button. I'm not like sewing everything in the house. And it, you know, it reminds me of the old days of Saturday Night Live, because you remember when they had the shark or whatever, and it was like knock, 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 telegram, knock, 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 candy delivery, knock, anything to get in the doorway. And, you know, I think it really is the clarity of understanding that, you know, the trick is, this is an issue you have to deal with. So come on, come out, play. This is an issue to deal with. Come out and play. I want to come out and play and deal with an issue. I want to, you know, truly be the full spectrum entirety of me.
You want to go and play. And, yeah. And you know, that's a great example, because you want to go and play. And guess what? You want everyone else to come and play.
Right.
Just come and play. Let's just have fun. And that's where I say, when you have that clarity of who you are, what you enjoy, and I'll use myself again. I enjoy when I can fully immerse myself. So if I'm not fully immersing myself, it doesn't matter. I can. It's not about pointing my finger at this one or that one, and this one's doing this and that one's doing that. No. What am I not enjoying that I can't fully immerse myself in this situation? So it's got nothing to do with anyone else. For whatever the reason, this isn't enjoyable to me. Therefore, fully immerse yourself in whatever it is you want to do, because that's what you enjoy. And if you don't understand that, and that doesn't mean everybody is the same as me. I'm sharing it because I just got that. And it's like, so all the stuff that's happening has got nothing to do with them. And this is the way they work, and it's not my way's right and their way's wrong. Right. It's just that's the way they work, and it's not in alignment with the way I work.
Right, right.
And so it's not about blaming. It's not of, I can make it that. I could sit here and complain. Can you believe and so-and-so? And it's just
right, and that becomes more issues. And so it's beautiful, because you said it's not in alignment with the way that I work. And so you drill down to a root of yourself.
Right.
And that's all that matters, because you're clearing that's almost, you look, think of a tree, and it's like, okay, you're clearing the dirt around it and the root can expand, because that's all that matters. And that doesn't mean, you know, you got to go now and deal with an issue. You got to go and set a boundary. You got to go and that's like staying in the powerful aspect of the root of who you are.
So when I used to say to you, I tell you, like when I was doing acupuncture and I would go to one of my clinics, right? This is when I was in school. However many times I'd go and I'd have a headache. I'd go and then I'd go into the space and I felt nothing. I'd go home and I'd feel fine. I'd feel great. You know, I've had a headache all day, as you know. And it's like all of a sudden, it's like I feel it's like subsided a little. And it's that acknowledgement of again, learning more about who I am. And I realize, like, the headache is, like, what is it? What is it? It's that. That's what it is. It's not that I'm going to point the finger at someone and say, they're causing my headache.
Right.
This person, look what they did to me, or look at that. And it's just a more potent understanding of who you are. And so where do I go with that? And this is, I'm going to share this. I don't know. I know that I really thrive when I am fully immersed in what I'm doing. And when I'm in that space, I don't recognize, I don't look at anything else. I'm in that space. And it's awesome. It's powerful. It's supportive. It's loving. And that's for me. I'm not saying that everybody has to have the same agreement, but when you recognize for yourself what it is that you do, you will feel that same feeling.
And you also gave a beautiful, quote-unquote, definition of presence. Absolutely beautiful definition of presence.
Oh, well, that's good.
Cha-ching.
Cha-ching.
Thank you for subscribing and listening to this production from EI Alliance. Check out our Amazon Authors pages and Google Play Books for our books and ebooks, and our fan link for podcasts available everywhere. Find music from the Free Rock Trio and New Threads everywhere too.